This sermon was originally preached at Rejoice Fellowship on September 3rd, 2023. The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 16th chapter, verses 21 to 28. And this is the Common English Bible version. From that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples that he had to go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders, chief priests, and legal experts, that he had to be killed and raised on the third day. Then Peter took hold of Jesus and, scolding him, began to correct him. "God forbid it, Lord. This won't happen to you." But he turned to Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stone that could make me stumble, for you are not thinking God's thoughts, but human thoughts." Then he said to his disciples, "All who want to come after me must say no to themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. All who want to save their lives will lose them, but all who lose their lives because of me will find them. Why would people gain the whole world but lose their lives? What will people gain in exchange for their lives? For the human one is about to come with the majesty of his Father and with his angels, and then he will repay each one for what that person has done. I assure you that some standing here won't die before they see the human one coming in his kingdom." The Gospel of our Lord. Grace and peace to you this day. So this past week, I had picked up groceries from the grocery store, like one of us usually does any week. But when I got home, I forgot, and I left a box of canned seltzer water in my back seat. Some orange LaCroix got a little toasty, but the next day, I get into my car, and surprise, I was greeted by these same cans of seltzer. Well, before I started driving away, as I was going up, whatever I was doing that day, I opened the box and opened a can of seltzer for the drive. It actually wasn't as hot as I thought it was going to be. While I was driving, I took a turn just a little sharper than I probably should have, and the box of seltzers went flying down my backseat. And it was open, so the cans spilled all out. None of them opened, thank goodness, but it was a hard, sharp turn that caused these cans to just fall. A hard, sharp turn, which could cause any of us to feel startled or surprised or maybe even a little bewildered. Those cans that went tumbling down all because of a sharp turn, they kind of remind me a little bit of Peter in today's gospel. Last week, Pastor Katie, the first pastor of Rejoice Fellowship, Pastor Katie Kluckman-Alt, preached a great sermon on a passage just before today's passage in the Gospel of Matthew. In that passage, Peter professes that Jesus is the Messiah. And in saying so, Jesus claimed Peter to have a divine revelation. And he said, "I will build my church on you, Peter." And this was actually a little tongue-in-cheek because Peter, the name Peter, is the English way of saying the name Petros in Greek. And Petros means Peter, but it also means rock. And so Jesus says he will build his church on Peter the rock. Get it? We'll fast forward ever so slightly to today's gospel. And Peter is not as praised as he was last week. No, this time Jesus rebukes him with the infamous line, "Get behind me, Satan." And he says, "You are a stone that could make me stumble." A stumbling block. A rock of the church, the rock, the sturdy foundation, Peter, is now the stumbling block. The thing standing in the way of the very thing Jesus is preaching. It is a delightful play on words, if absolutely nothing else. All in all, Peter is not so delighted to hear what Jesus had to say in regards to the future of this Messiah that he had just professed. Jesus says he's going to end up suffering quite a bit and even die because of all of this. And immediately Peter shuts down. It's as if he cannot hear the rest of the sentence, that though the Messiah will die, he will also be resurrected on the third day. But Peter can't hear that part yet. He can only hear death. And he goes into what seems like fight or flight. This past week, I also happened across an interview with an actress recounting some of her days as a child actor on Nickelodeon. But she had a pretty terrible time, apparently. And she was telling this story about how when she was about 12 years old, she was on set, and this adult in her trailer just completely loses all cool and just starts yelling ceaselessly at this child. Just nonstop diatribe, screaming, yelling, directed at this one child. And so she too went into fight or flight. But for her, it was flight. She ran. She ran and ran back to her own trailer, and she couldn't hear anything else that was happening around her. She couldn't hear any of the other adults asking what was happening. It was like her brain shut her off from hearing anything else in order to protect itself. The social work world sometimes calls that a trauma response. When your brain shuts everything down, so nothing can get in, including the threat. Peter, I think, entered fight or flight, but he didn't run, no. He tries to fight it. He says, no, no, no way can this be possible. I'm positive this can't be what happens to the Messiah, the one who is supposed to save us, remember? How can you save us if you die? But I want to call back to Pastor Katie's sermon again. She mentioned the significance of where they were physically standing for all of this. They were in Caesarea Philippi, a region of the world within the Roman Empire. And Pastor Katie mentioned the political significance of this spot, that there were statues and vestiges dedicated to Roman gods of power and glory, and rulers of the Roman Empire who were treated as gods, worshipped, and idolized. This place was one that oozed political status, success, ego. And yet here is Jesus, saying that he, as the Messiah, unlike all these popular gods, he was going to suffer and die. And in the eyes of Peter and of the Roman Empire, death was the ultimate defeat. You die, you're out. You lose. There were winners and there were losers, and this is what success looked like, not what Jesus was describing. All his life, Peter had only known what this kind of success was. Ego and status, not suffering, not death, death even if it was followed by resurrection. A lot of pastors find a little comfort, though, in Peter's apparent regression of faith. Because so many stories run on a forward timeline, right? You move towards something, whatever it is. As the disciples learned more about Jesus, witnessed his miracles, heard his sermons, they too grew in faith. But what we in the 21st century get to witness is how cyclical that growth can be. It's not always a straight line. Peter could be the rock of the church one day and the stumbling block the next day. And I think this too is so much closer to how we experience faith also. Even if we don't want to admit it all the time, we too have highs and lows. At Rejoice Fellowship, we had spent all summer reading the stories of some of the first chosen people of God, and they too had ups and downs, and then ups, and then more downs. It was never a clean story from point A to point B. There was life in the middle. There was doubt. But God was there the whole time. What I appreciate about this story in particular is that Jesus, while he does admonish Peter, which I'm sure wasn't easy to hear, he doesn't abandon Peter or let the topic change right there. Jesus follows it up with instruction. It's like Jesus picked up where Peter's brain just had to say no and goes, okay, I'm going to address that right now. But being rebuked, being called out, as Peter was, is never easy. But it's 10 times worse to be called out and then the person say, bye, here's what you did wrong, now see ya. No. Lovingly, however hard it was, Jesus sits in the discomfort of Peter's refusal to accept Christ's suffering, and then goes on to give him instructions. You have to carry your cross too. Last week, every preacher probably asked their congregation the same question. And it's the same question that Jesus asks the disciples. Who is the Messiah? Who is Jesus to you? Even though I wasn't preaching, I probably would have asked that too. But this week, just as many preachers, I am sure, will likely ask this next question. What does it mean today to carry your own cross? What does it mean to take up your cross and follow Jesus? Because here's the sad part. I cannot answer that for you. Just like last week, Pastor Katie couldn't answer last week's question for you either. These questions of faith, pondering them, wrestling with them, maybe having one answer one day, but another answer the next day, or the same answer your entire life, or never an answer at all, and only more questions. That's usually my experience. I almost never have answers, but I almost always have more questions. That is a huge part of a life of faith. These are questions that we have and will wrestle with our entire lives. These are questions that Archer, who's being baptized today, these are questions that Archer will wrestle with. These are questions that are not foreign to us. But even if the answers change, even if one day we feel like our faith is rock solid, it's possible to wake up the next morning and feel like the stumbling block. But that is a life of faith. That is the ups and the downs of following Jesus. That is the comfort and the challenge, the assurance and the push. What does it mean to take up your cross to follow Jesus? I'd love it if you thought about that this week. And if you come up with an answer, share it with me. I always want to hear about where each and every one of you are on this journey of faith. What does it mean to carry your cross? I hope you'll think about it. And I really hope you'll let me know. Amen.